Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're going to be taking a look at a passage from Amos 9.1.1.1.
Okay.
And I'm super excited about this one because I actually think this is one of the passages that you sent me that I had the most questions about. And the reason for that is that it is such a controversial passage.
It is.
In terms of its interpretation and application, especially for us as New Testament Christians.
Right.
So we're looking at this lecture from Robert Van Ooy.
Yes.
And he really gets into some of that historical background and the interpretive challenges. So I think to start off, just to kind of set the stage for everybody, this passage in Amos, it's talking about the raising up of David's fallen tent.
Right.
And possessing the remnant of Edom. And then it goes on to talk about this time of abundance and blessing.
Yes.
And no longer being uprooted.
Yeah.
So immediately, I think for a lot of Christians, we read that and we think, oh, this is talking about the church.
Right.
Or this is talking about, you know, the kingdom of God or whatever. But it gets a little bit trickier when you realize that this passage was quoted
yes.
by James at the Council of Jerusalem.
That's right.
In Acts 15.
Yes.
And he uses it to argue a very specific point.
He does.
So that's kind of the big question that we're wrestling with here is how do we interpret this passage, especially in light of how it was used by James?
Yeah. And one of the other things that I think is interesting is just the debate about the authenticity of the passage.
Right.
Like, was this really written by Amos?
Yeah, so some scholars don't even think Amos wrote these verses.
That's right.
They think that they were added later.
Right.
Because talking about the fall of Judah and things like that, it just doesn't fit with the historical context.
Right, because Amos was prophesying
right.
before the fall of the northern kingdom.
Right.
So how could he be talking about Judah, the remnant of Edom, and all of that?
Right. And so Van Ooy, he actually pushes back on that.
He does.
And he says, well, you know, Amos was predicting the fall of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't he also see beyond that
exactly.
to a future restoration?
It's not outside the realm of possibility that a prophet would have that kind of wide-angle lens.
Yeah. So he's not just doom and gloom. He's also looking ahead to hope. Okay, so we've got that background.
Okay.
Now let's jump into this key verse that Van Ooy says is like the heart of the debate.
Okay.
Amos 9.82.
All right.
What's so spiffle about this verse?
Well, it talks about possessing the remnant of Edom.
Okay.
And that's significant in and of itself. But what's really interesting is that the wording that James uses in Acts 15 is different than what we find in our typical Hebrew Bibles.
Wait, different wording?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Like different translations?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have the Masoretic text, which is the traditional Hebrew text.
Right.
But then we have these discoveries from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
And one of the fragments is 4Q Flora 1.2. It actually supports the wording that James used.
Mm.
So it might suggest that there was some corruption of the text
okay.
later on down the line in the Masoretic text.
I'm trying to follow here because I think for someone who maybe hasn't studied a lot of textual criticism or things like that, they might be thinking, wait a minute, what are you talking about different wording? Like,
right.
what does that matter? Why does it matter?
It matters because the wording affects the meaning.
Okay.
And it affects how we interpret the verse. And ultimately, the entire passage.
Okay.
And so when we understand the context of the Council of Jerusalem,
okay.
remember, they weren't debating whether Gentiles could become Christians.
Right.
That was already happening.
Right.
The real debate was whether these new Gentile believers needed to be circumcised.
Okay, so it's about the rules for these new Christians.
Exactly. And that's where Van Ooy's interpretation gets really interesting.
Okay.
He suggests that James is using Amos 9.12 to argue against circumcision.
Okay.
He says that if we see this verse as pointing towards the second coming of Christ, it changes everything.
Whoa, hold on. Are you saying that James is taking this ancient prophecy about Edom?
Yes.
And he's using it to make a point about circumcision? That seems like a big jump.
It might seem that way at first, but if we understand that at the second coming, both Jews and Gentiles will be part of God's kingdom,
okay.
the whole issue of circumcision becomes irrelevant.
So it's like he's saying, look, this isn't about these physical rituals anymore. It's about something much bigger.
Exactly.
It's about this future reality where all of these distinctions are kind of erased.
That's the idea.
Okay, so we've figured out this Edom code in verse 12.
Now, how does
it connect to the rest of the passage? Let's start with verse 11, the part about raising up David's fallen tent.
Okay.
What's Van Ooy's take on that?
So verse 11, that's the part about raising up David's fallen tent. A lot of people see that as referring to the church.
Uh-huh.
But Van Ooy suggests that it could actually be referring to the establishment of Christ's kingdom.
When he returns?
Exactly.
So instead of something that happened in the past,
right.
he's saying it's pointing to a future event.
Precisely.
Okay, and then it gets even more interesting when we look at verses 13 to 15, the part about overflowing harvests and never
Yes.
being uprooted again. Those verses are usually understood figuratively, like describing the church or maybe even heaven, like a
Right.
spiritual paradise.
Yeah.
But Vinoy thinks they could be describing the literal conditions of the world after Christ's return.
Exactly.
Okay, so he's really consistent with
It
this.
is.
This whole passage is focused on the second coming.
He sees it all as one big picture.
I'm starting to see how this one interpretation can shift our whole understanding of the passage.
Absolutely.
But are there any scholars who agree with Vinoy? Like, this seems pretty radical to me.
It is a unique perspective, but he does mention some other scholars who have proposed similar ideas. One interesting perspective comes from a scholar named Payne, and he kind of tries to breach the gap between the traditional view and Vinoy's more futuristic interpretation.
Oh, so he's trying to find a middle ground?
Yeah, kind of a both-and approach.
Okay, so how does he do that?
He sees verse 11, the part about raising up David's fallen tent, as referring to the first coming of Christ.
Okay, so that's pretty standard.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I've always understood it.
But then he connects verse 12, the bit about possessing Edom, to the inclusion of the Gentiles. He says that the phrase, "after this I will return," which James uses in Acts 15, refers to the period after the Israelites came back from exile in Babylon.
So God returned when the Israelites returned to their land.
That's how he interprets it.
And then for verses 13-15, he sees them as describing this time of peace and prosperity that some people believe will happen before Christ's second coming.
The millennial kingdom.
So he's connecting three different time periods:
Right.
the first coming of Christ, the return from exile, and then this future millennial kingdom.
It's a multi-layered interpretation for sure.
Wow, so we've got Vinoy's view, which is all about the future, the traditional interpretation. And then Payne's more layered approach.
Yeah, three different
Are
lenses.
there any other interpretations we should consider?
We can't forget about Alders, the scholar we mentioned earlier who doesn't believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Christ before the end times. He really struggles with the idea that those verses about abundance and never being uprooted again are just symbolic.
Because historically, Israel was uprooted again
Exactly.
after the Babylonian exile.
So he proposes that verses 13 to 15 refer specifically to that return from exile, and that they're totally separate from the messianic prophecies in verses 11 to 12.
So he's dividing the passage into two separate
Two
prophecies.
different fulfillments.
Okay, so that does solve the problem
It does.
of the unfulfilled promise of Israel never being uprooted again.
Right.
But does his interpretation hold up?
Well, it creates other problems, as Vinoy points out.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, it disrupts the flow of the passage. Why would Amos suddenly jump back to talking about the return from exile in the middle of this prophecy about the future?
Yeah, it's like suddenly changing the subject in the middle of a story.
Exactly. It doesn't quite flow naturally.
So, as you can see, each
Yes.
interpretation has its own strengths and
They all
weaknesses.
have their pros and cons.
And maybe that's the point.
Perhaps.
Maybe Amos 9.11.15 is meant to make us think deeply
To wrestle with these ideas.
about the complexities of prophecy and how we interpret it.
It's a challenge to our assumptions.
It's like this passage is a puzzle with multiple
A
solutions.
mystery with many
Each
layers.
solution gives us a slightly different glimpse into God's plan,
Different perspectives on the grand narrative.
but none of them give us the complete picture.
It's an invitation to keep exploring.
Okay, so speaking of exploring, you mentioned earlier that Vinoy's interpretation raises some important questions about how we view the relationship between Israel and the church.
Oh, yes, that's a crucial point.
Can you unpack that a bit more? I'd love to hear what you think. So we've seen all these different ways to understand this passage in Amos, but what can we learn from all this? You said that Vinoy's interpretation raises questions about how we see the relationship between Israel and the church. What did you mean by that?
Well, there's this idea that's been around for a while called replacement theology, where people say the church basically takes over for Israel and God's plan. But if this passage in Amos is really about a future restoration for both Jews and Gentiles, then it makes us rethink that whole idea.
So maybe God has different plans for both.
It's possible. Maybe it's not so simple.
That's really interesting. Are there any other things this makes us think about?
Well, think about biblical prophecy in general. If this passage is about something that's still going to happen in the future, then it means some prophecies might take a lot longer to actually happen than we think.
Like, we can't just assume we know God's timetable.
Exactly. God works on God's own time, and this passage reminds us that some prophecies might take centuries or even longer. We need to be patient.
This makes me think about how we approach the Bible in general. It's not about forcing the text to fit what we think.
I agree completely. We need to be open to what the author really meant and realize that we're always learning new things about prophecy.
You know, this has really been eye-opening for me. What would you say are the main things our listeners should take away from this deep dive?
I think the biggest thing is that interpreting biblical prophecy isn't about getting the right answer. It's about really engaging with the text and listening to different points of view, even if you disagree.
So it's more about the process.
Exactly. And that process is something we do our whole lives. We learn from each other, we study, and we let the Bible change the way we think. Amos 9.11.15 is a great example of how just one passage can keep people talking for centuries and help us get a better grasp on God's plan.
It's definitely given us a lot to think about today. I'm sure this conversation will keep going long after we finish recording. Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share?
I just encourage everyone to keep exploring, keep asking those questions, keep learning about God's Word. Prophecy is full of amazing things, and the journey has just begun.
I love that. Thank you so much for joining me for this deep dive. It's been really fascinating. I hope everyone listening learns something new today. Until next time, keep on diving deep.